the building. Let's lift up our hands and worship Him. Oh, let it go up unto Him as a sweet smelling savour this morning. Hallelujah. And I go. Blessed privilege to stand on holy ground. The prophet of God says it wasn't the mountain that was holy, it was the holy God that came down on that mountain. He told Moses, take off your shoes, off your feet, because you're standing upon holy ground. If we are standing here on holy ground today, it's only because of the presence of the Almighty God. We could have that blessed assurance because He said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, yeah, I am in the midst. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Let's believe Him today. Let's look to Him who is faithful, who has a purpose for us being here today. And we have come with a purpose in our hearts. Nothing will distract us. No obstacle will stand before us. Coming like that Syrophoenician woman with perseverance. In spite of all your obstacles. In spite of all objections. Hallelujah. She hollered for a little while but didn't get nothing. But something struck her soul and she moved into a channel. And she began to say the right thing. And He said, for this same. Oh, may the Holy Spirit just move every heart and mind into that place. We can have that. He desires to give that to us. Because we've come here to meet with Him. Father, we bow our hearts in Your great august presence. We consider it, Lord, such a blessed privilege granted unto us as mortals to come journeying from different places today to be gathered upon this spot of ground. But You saw it fit, dear God, when this little island pushed up from the sea. Oh God, and it settled here for a while, and You knew that one day this little spot of ground would be hallowed. It will be allocated, Lord, to us. The church will be built here. The people will come and gather here. And You will come down and meet with Your people, Father. It was unknown at one time. It was covered with bushes and like a little wilderness, Lord. Obscure, out of the view of people. Nobody had an interest or a desire to come into this place here. Dear God, You by the moving of Your Holy Spirit moved upon Your people, Lord, by Your divine leadership, by divine providence You made it available. Oh God, by Your presence and Your power, You give health and strength and skill and substance. You put such a willingness in the heart of Your children, Lord, to heal up this place, dear God, to erect this structure, to consecrate it. Then You by Your great presence begin to draw Your people, Lord. Oh God, we get come, and today here we are gathered, Father, from all over this island, to give honor and glory to You, to worship You, the true and living God. Lord God, with a revelation of our hearts, that you alone are the true and living God. And you have descended in this hour. You've come down in the midst of your people. You are taking them away, Lord. This great hour of the rapture, the one shall be taken and the other shall remain. Oh God, how we pray today, Father, that the grace of the living God will flow through the world. Inspired, Lord, quickened, flowing out freely, Lord, and endowing your people with such faith, Lord, that it is you, Father. It is you drawing them unto yourself. It is you, dear God, preparing them and making them ready for your coming. It is you, Lord, giving them faith to be changed in this hour. Almighty God, we pray today that while we've gathered your great presence and your spirit in attendance to minister here to each and every one, from the greatest to the least, oh God, regardless of what level we are, regardless of our background, regardless of our social status, that is not important, dear God. We come as one people under the blood of Jesus Christ, coming, Lord, to the channel of this revealed word message that you have sent in these last days, and looking unto you, expecting to receive, dear God, whatever it is, dear God. We believe that you are more than able to minister, Lord, to each and every one, regardless of their need. I pray that you would cause people to believe, knowing we have this privilege to be so close to you today, so close to your presence, Lord. Dear God, knowing that you are desirous to give unto us that which we have need of. And then surely, oh God, we know people can still come that close and still your presence can be unrecognized. Still say, there goes Jesus, but don't have the faith to reach out and touch. But I pray, Lord, faith will be stimulated. The place will be so charged with your presence. You would anoint people, Lord. Oh God, I got a woman with the issue of blood. She said, there he is. And she moved with faith and the pulsation of the Holy Ghost. Blind Bartimaeus just heard the song of your voice, of the people, Lord, the commotion. Lord, as you were passing by, he realized that was an opportunity. He capitalized upon it. He seized a hold of it. He apprehended it, Lord. Oh, God, he wouldn't let it go for nothing. That was his moment. He had to get it that hour. The Shunammite woman, Lord. Lord God, she said, all is well. Looking beyond the circumstances to the God who was in that prophet, who gave that blessing. Hallelujah. Knowing that you were still great as you ever was, Lord. And so I pray that would be moving here today, and faith would operate, Lord, in the hearts of your children, and great blessings would be poured out, and lives would be affected, souls would be changed, the people, Lord, would be delivered and walking in liberty to praise you and to glorify you. Even the strangers, the visitors, them who may not know you, dear God, who might be in our gates today, we ask that your abundant mercy and grace be poured out to each and every one, and that your name will be magnified and you'll be glorified and receive all praise. We thank you as we ask all these things in Jesus' wonderful and precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, we want to welcome you all in the house of God today, and certainly happy to have each and every one that have made it possible to be here, and the ministering brothers. God bless them. And everyone, all the strangers and the visitors, may you just relax in his presence and be certainly happy for times like this when we come and gather together. Amen. Have some fine singing, and we certainly appreciate the efforts that have been put forward here by the musicians and the singers. I think the musicians sound a little enthusiastic today, and that is very nice. You know, when you see, sometimes you need that little extra lift, and you can play with that kind of enthusiasm. Amen. And they're so certainly happy for all God's blessings. Let's just go from the Bible to the book of Daniel, chapter 12. Prayer request here, so I guess that God is just moving your heart and your life and your midst, and people are receiving great blessings from the Lord. That's very nice. Daniel chapter 12, there will be a couple of places elsewhere in the Bible, but we just take a couple of verses here first. Amen. Let us read Daniel 12. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince who standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time that people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Four times here in this one verse he's speaking of that time. At that time, Michael shall stand up. At that time, there'll be a time of trouble like never was. At that same time, he says, and at that time that people shall be delivered. Time of trouble, time of deliverance, time of God standing for his people and revealing the names in the book. A great time here. This particular vision, the last one, the closing one of the book, was given to Daniel after the people had went back to Jerusalem. He was dumped in Babylon still, and because he was the close of his years there, and this great thing, the final vision came, that they are going back there, Daniel, they're going to build that temple, but you know something? It's going to be destroyed again. They had left there to come into Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar destroyed it. They were going back there to rebuild the Titus to destroy it. And then it will be scattered again. So God knew that it was a long time. So after they went back, he said, Daniel, you rest in many days to come still. And they're going back there, but it's not time yet. And I'll just take that little portion. Save a little time. Get you off your feet quickly. Matthew 24. I'm going to pick some places here to avoid long reading, but I hope by God's grace that you would be so sharp this morning that you would know if I break into a chapter or take half of a verse, you will know exactly what the text is speaking of, and your mind would be very alert to follow. Matthew 24 and verse 3. Maybe we can take from verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and the disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see you not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon Mount of Olives, and this is where geography is important in the Bible, because verse 1 and 2 he was in the temple, and verse 3 he is in the mountain. He then changes location. One is in the morning, one is in the afternoon. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? They want to know the time. And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the age? Now watch this again now. Three things they wanted to know. Three questions asked, and the three questions you're going to answer. But the three questions have to deal with time and seasons and the prophecies that should be fulfilled in those times and the signs that will identify those times. What shall be the time when this building will fall down? What shall be the time when you're going to come? What shall be the time when the end of the world is going to take place? What will be the sign of your coming for us to know the time is going to happen? What will be the time of the consummation, the end of the world, like in the book of Daniel? See? And here Jesus is beginning to answer these things. So from verse 4 to 7, he painted a very, very horrid picture. Talk about deception. You're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars, and nations shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilence, earthquakes, and violence, prisons. Verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. After he painted those things, four seals he covered, seven church ages. He says, all these are the beginning of sorrow. And then he goes on now from verse 9 to 13, and he goes into another horrid stage again. Persecution. People being betrayed. People, many shall be offended, betrayed. They shall hate one another. See? Iniquity abounding. Love of many waxing cold. And then, jump down to verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever shall be. He is quoting Daniel 12:1 here. So think of it. Here's your word himself. He's preaching. He's opening something. They're asking questions on time. And he's going back into the book of Daniel. And he's quoting for them. And he's going to place that time of trouble now. Daniel say, talk about the time of trouble. But Jesus is going to place that time of trouble. What is going to happen? He's building up it. He says, look, all these are just the beginning of sorrows. These are the great tribulations. This is just the beginning of sorrows. Do you realize that we are already in that time? Since 1962, five planets come in a straight line. A prophecy, what does that mean? Birth of an infant church. The beginning of sorrows is here. So, look. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world. To this time, this particular time is going to come. No, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened. There should be no flesh saved. Could you imagine? God will have to move in quickly and cut the hook short because no flesh will be saved. The corruption will be so rampant. Like in the days of Noah. He had to cut the days short. You know why? Because the corruption was so widespread that if he had let it go on, even Noah and his family might have got contaminated. Because only Noah was found perfect in his generation. All the sons of God were fallen, most of them. Who didn't die and in good faith was fallen. Because they got corrupted, they got hybrid with the world. The sons of God, so the daughters of men, and their wives, and everything was broken down. Only Noah was found perfect in his generation. And so God, in order to repopulate the world, had to seal him away and take him away because judgment was coming in. So look at it. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. See? For the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Where it's possible, even the elect will be deceived, you see? Then let's jump down to verse 29. Okay, let me take verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now this is what they're asking. When shall be the sign of thy coming? The word there in the Greek is diaparousia. When shall be the sign of thy parousia? And then he's telling here, so shall also the parousia of the Son of Man be. For where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And now he called the elect by another name. He says, he'll cut the day short for the elect's sake. The Son of Man will come quickly, and the elect will be gathered. But when he's calling them there now, he's calling them eagles. Because they will be eagles in the hour of his coming. See, he was lying man up, but in that hour, when that great trouble is sweeping the earth, they're going to be eagles. Why? He's getting ready for a flight. The rapture is going to save the church. Otherwise, the whole world will be corrupted. See, it's destroyed. It's to be destroyed. That's why one bomb can't fall until that bride goes. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. And he didn't come to the great tribulation yet. We talk about the beginning of sorrows. You talk about the tribulation of those days. Here now he's identifying back the times that he spoke of, the tribulation of those days. After the tribulation of those days, now we come into the great tribulation. See? Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give it light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. And after the tribulation of those days, this one here, the stars fall from heaven, all these things, moon not giving it light, is what we call great tribulation. So you see from the increasing, it's going to start in Jerusalem, he says. They'll tear this temple down. They'll scatter these people. And this will start to move and move. By the time it hit the Laodicea age, it's going to be the beginning of sorrows. You have a prophet stand up there so you wouldn't miss the hour. He'll tell you what it is. I'll show it in the heavens. Then I'll show it in the heavens again when the whole world goes into apostasy. I'll tell you it's finished. You will see all them UFOs in the skies. You will see them things. That's why I say, even so, come now, Jesus. Maranatha, come. They talk about UFOs. You don't know what it is. Investigate the angels of judgment. So you see, catch the feeling, catch the tone of the scripture is what I want to get here. And so shall, he said, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Now watch how he moves from Jew to Gentile here without even giving away much of what's going to happen. He just condenses it. From the eagles being gathered together, now he goes over into great tribulation, the Jewish side, and he shows here the elect, the Jewish elect, being gathered together as well. All the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and with glory, and he shall send his angels with a great song of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect. So notice we have two groups called elect here in this time. One on the Gentile side, one on the Jewish side. We have the coming of the Son of Man here, we have the coming of the Son of Man there for them too. Same message drops over the air. Watch, it's all put together in one. Because what they don't reveal on the Gentile side is revealed on the Jewish side, it just speaks of the same thing. One in the natural, one in the spiritual. And he shall send his angels with a great song of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. One more scripture I'll have you seated. Romans 9. Together with that. So what we look at there in Matthew was the trouble that Jesus was looking back in the book of Daniel and showed to us how that trouble escalates. How it keeps advances on, it progresses on in deadly fashion until trouble exists on the earth where all need here takes a tumble. Notice it started with wars on the earth, rumors of wars, it started with different things. But where it ends up with stars falling from heaven, moon not giving its light, sun refuses to shine. That's where it ends up. But look where it starts, how it starts on the earth. Look how it builds up. Look how it goes. Until the whole thing, heaven and earth, everything is being shaken down. Daniel saw it. In that day Michael shall stand. Romans 9. Just want to pick up a verse here quickly. Verse 6. Verse 1 to 5, Paul is speaking of his sorrow for Israel. I preach it here, I'm in praise song, so I don't have to make too much comments. How they had the law, they had the adoption, the tabernacle, the covenant, the promises, all these things. And then, yet, they were so blinded when the greatest light came, they couldn't recognize it. And because it was in the minority who saw the truth, many thought that the word wasn't fulfilled. They thought if the word was fulfilled, it would be a great national thing. But look what Paul says here. Not as though the word of God had taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. He is proven by the scriptures that God had a definite purpose in doing what he was doing, the way he was doing it, and people had misunderstood it when they read it in the Bible. That's what he's doing. He's saying everybody thought when God said Abraham's seed, they mean everybody. He said, but God didn't mean that. He said, man interpreted that, and that's why they went off. He said, but when the thing was fulfilled, look how it happened. He said, I'll prove it to you. Abraham had two seeds, Ishmael and Isaac. He said, God said, I'm not going to accept Ishmael. And he goes into Abraham's house, and sure, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. We'll see. That is, they who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise, are counted as the seed. And he's telling us right here, out the Abraham seed, it have categories. Some is of the flesh, some is of the promise. What does it teach us? If they were blinded that way, and then the Gentiles being blinded to go back here, the same thing is happening, history is repeating itself, then what does it tell us with the message? All Christians is not Christians. All message is not message. It has those of the flesh, it has those in the election. And God is thinking about those in the election. Is what he's thinking about. So that's why when you see that believers don't get confused. Well, brother, so and so and so, you put him in the rapture? I sure that right. Because he's serving God a long time. That's a qualification. We got sister over there, she prophesied our time in church and she's speaking tongues and so. That's a qualification. See? And that's what Paul showed. The purpose of God is in election, not manifestation, election. That's what he's teaching here. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come and Sarah shall have a son. Who knew the time? Only Abraham and Sarah knew the time, had a revelation of the time. They might have told a lot of people the promise. A lot of people and family might have said about the promise that God said, according to the time of life, I'll return. Next 20 days are coming. In the set time next year, I'm coming. You understand? They alone had a revelation. Mary alone knew when Messiah was going to be born. Mary alone knew when it conceived. Everybody read the Bible, but the election alone knew the time. Malachi 4 alone knew the time when he's coming. The flashing red light. You don't get preach it. There's a man here, he has come. The mighty God is on faith. He alone knew it. He watched the dreams, then the vision. He went to Arizona, he met it, he preached, and they turned it down. But he had come. Is that right? So know that. It's not. Don't get general. Ask God to start to give you a personal. You want to know for you. You want to know for your household. You want to know for sure. Verse 10. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. He goes from Sarah to Rebekah now to narrow down his point. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, he's showing his not human ability, not what man do, what not choosing. That the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. He took all that to explain that the word of God did take effect. Drop down to verse 27. Isaiah also cried out concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. The real Israel. Not all Israel, the real Israel. A remnant shall be saved. Not all Israel, Abraham, the real Israel, Abraham. For he will finish the work and cut it short. Okay, I'm going back now to Matthew 21. Except he cut them days short, no flesh will be saved. But for the elect's sake, for the remnant's sake, for the election's sake, he's cutting it short. Look, Paul, seeing and teaching. See? For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been a Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. Who is Sodom and Gomorrah? The world outside here today. We in that age. When Abraham was knowing the time and generously promised, the world was Sodom and Gomorrah. And what happened to that? That Gentile world burned with fire. And we'd be like that. But God left us a seed. See, God left us a seed. Let us pray. Father, in this great time of trouble, when the work is being cut short, when you promise you will deliver the names in the book, you reveal them, you will stand for your people. The very angel of the covenant, the archangel himself, will be here with a voice that can call them out of organizational graves, quicken them and raise them up, loose them from every grip of Satan. I pray, Father, that, Lord, this will be so real. The reality of the scriptures, if we can place these scriptures by the inspiration of your spirit in the time and the season when it's been happening, when it's fulfilled, Lord, then we can understand what is happening in our lives if we are part of the elect. Then we'll know what influence, we'll know what you are doing, and we'll be able to see how you are doing it. Because we'll be seeing the modern events showing the scripture being fulfilled. Lord, then it will be an inspired word to us. It will not just be some theological teaching, but will be a channel of inspiration to anoint our faith, to motivate us to go forth and see that faith be operated, to do great exploits in this hour. You promised these things, Lord, and so we are believing it, and we are exercising our faith in it. We ask that you would confirm it and make it real in every heart. Have your way in this service now.
Help thy servant that depend upon you greatly today. Bless your people in a special way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a seat. I want to speak a little bit on the hidden ones in the time of trouble. And before we put away the book, the blessed old Bible, I would like to maybe just take a scripture in Psalms with you, just to tie that in here so you can catch the reality of what this is. And I pray that God will give you the inspiration, the scriptures, as we try to tie them together, that it might bring up the spiritual application of the hour, and you can really and truly understand. I'm certainly depending on the Lord to give me grace here to speak. I had some notes, and I really didn't get time to write them out and so on, but I'm just trusting Him. He's been dealing with me like that these last few services, so I feel just comfortable like that. Psalms 27. Now, I'm speaking here, at least in this first part of the service, to you who believe the message and you who have sat under the influence of the message of the hour over the last few years. And we want to take this first, at this part of the service, to kind of teach something and let it strike your heart real good, that you can catch what we are presenting here. I'm presenting a concept here. I'm presenting something here to the scriptures as I read them, the way I read them. I read them that way for a purpose. To try to line up the scripture and show you this message is the fulfillment of scripture. That's why I've been emphasizing that for maybe the last 6 months and re-emphasizing it here in the church. It's a message we are following. It's a message that has come unto us. We are not having church and preaching sermons. We are not just trying to bring our idea or what we feel or what we go through or something like that. My whole purpose this year especially have been to reawaken you to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. To reemphasize that, because I realize that a lot of people is slipping away from the reality of the fact that we're in the rapture. When people are being blessed with the studying the scriptures, they say, boy, hey, we're in the rapture, boy. The rapture starts with a shout, the Lord, we send lines to see all the thunders and the seals open up and everything else. And then after a while, conditions change around them, influences change around them, new influences invade the environment, take them captive sometimes. Then when they speak that, the behavior is foreign to someone getting ready for the coming of the Lord. So now you have a person with a testimony expressing scriptural knowledge, but you have a lies that don't line up with what they say. Because from the time they start to believe that till this present time, we more far advanced and time has run out. So then if they were desperate here a little bit, they are that much more desperate here. Because when they see the world evil back, they see that much more evil here. Things that they couldn't see fulfilled back here, these things have been identified to them here. And this year, a lot of the message has been on identifying things that have happened, places in the Bible, in the heavens, in the earth, among the nations, in the church world, among the believers. The word has been careful to place to you the sign. That mysterious comet that appeared there this year. Then we come down. We look at things happening out in the nations. We have the series right here on Daniel and Revelation. Dividing the land for gain, all the different things coming in. Information revolution. See? Then from there, when the Prince of Peace on the blackout and the apostasy, showing the church world that letter is being taken out of the way. The people are given over to reprobate minds, a strong delusion to believe the lie. They get in the spirit of this coming new world order. They get in all and choose. The politicians getting a hold of them. Religious men getting a hold of them. That is why they'll be able to laugh and rejoice when they kill Moses and Elijah. That's why they'll do that. Because they're already laughing when they kill the same Elijah here already. When they crucified him as a second time. No, you see, the thing is, unless you are not a close observer, unless you don't really understand the scripture and believe the word and have spiritual discernment, you really don't know what you're looking for. But when you begin to focus into the word, you see, is this the most vindicated message in an age where there are scientific instruments to vindicate it? In Moses' days, after Elijah was telling about Moses came, they only know because it was handed down and written. Elijah's generation had to believe and say, yeah, our history, our grandfather, our great-grandfather, tell us that. They couldn't show them a deep color and a deep film with Moses explaining the signs of his commission. They couldn't show them the pillar of fire coming down and Moses speaking. They couldn't show them that. Because they couldn't show them the cloud following Moses. Because they had no camera to get out. We believe by faith in the Bible before it came back in this day, and God let science confirm it to give a double testimony that His word is true. Why did He do that? So He could condemn this generation. You believe in science, you trust in your science declared. Yeah, it is. You know what I'm saying? So then, they don't believe God's word, but they believe science. Then God said, your own instrument that you invent and bring together, confirm it. And they refuse to believe it. Yet they're spending billions of dollars to go in space. And what is it now that space has come to you? You know what I'm saying? The aliens are already here. The person, they're going to come and get you. Are they not ministering spirits and thoughts in the presence of the ministering to the world of salvation? Yeah. Don't they guide you? Don't they lead you? Yeah. Don't they bring messages to you? Yeah. You see? But they're tapping into something. They're craving for something. You know the Time magazine this week? Forever young. All the scientists, they're working overtime to break through to keep people in perpetual youth. Keep a woman without wrinkles. Oh, they come so close, they're giving up babies without them having sex. See? Eve was to have it without sex. Mary had it without sex. But science, putting a sperm inside of it, they can't create one. But they use how the woman body is made up to take that and they put one inside of there. When the Holy Ghost was shot of Mary, He created this sperm in the egg. See, she's moving up, friends. And you look in the natural world through the natural science is trying to achieve. No one in the prophets said they take the church, they take the people in the world farther with their five senses, and ministers take the church and the soul. We have to try to open this world to take you somewhere. And we have to walk in that place with God and pay the price to walk there in order to take you there. That is why the message to me is something that God has sent. It's something that lays in it. It's something that you unlock out of it. It's something that you open up in a season to produce something in the people. Everything for every season is already here. But we have to grow into it. We have to find the vitamins of the world. And when we come to a certain stage where we have grown to, then there are certain things on certain shelves in the arcade. You ever hear the prophet about the arcade? He says it's like a great big arcade you have. And it has all kinds of things. It has healing, it has visions, it has resurrection, it has all kinds of different things. And you're coming there, he says, but if you only live here and take things off the low shelf, it's okay, but you need to get a step ladder now to climb and get access into another realm. You see, you're born in the humanistic realm here. And you're born wrong, and a lot of people like to live in the humanistic realm. But there's a realm of revelation. And some people don't want to go up the air. But if you climb the ladder, you can come up in that realm. One day you can come up in the realm of revelation. And then you realize what it is to live in a world of perfect faith. It's not like asking you for 20 years, get perfect faith, live in a world of perfect faith. No. He has the key to the door. And the guide is here. And here the footprints laid out. If you believe it, if you desire to walk in it, he's here to take you into it. That the job he's come for. That the role he wants to perform. See? And then you come into the realm of revelation. Then you have, as men are led by the Spirit of God. No, you have leadership. No, you independent of what auntie say, and what uncle say, and what his one say, and what his nene say, and what his man down the road say, and the shopkeeper tell you this, and then you know, the man playing lock with tell you, but you try that to be going, yeah, your jeans straight. You see? Not that kind of thing. No, you're that still small voice in the control tower where he speaks according to the word and gives you faith. You link up with omniscience. That's where he wants you to walk. That's the place he wants you to walk. And then if you look up in the realm of revelation and live there a little bit, how are you going to get up in the realm of vision? You see what I need to be there for? Well, when the sleeping saints come, how are you going to see them? When you're down here, only seeing dressed stale, movies, something over there, money in the bank, social status, how do you see sleeping saints? It takes a different vision to see that. But the preparation comes through this message. The Holy Ghost has laid out the pattern, has laid out the program. That's what the message is all about. That's what seals was in the Bible for. It was mysteries sealed up. The word on seal and spoken by the mouth of a prophet, the thoughts of God in the mind of God, is being put into the heart of the elected to bring them into a fellowship with God. Where man begins to walk with God now, having a whole of God's mystery and God's mystery getting a hold of them. And then they begin to work by a different power other than mental power, other than human energy. They begin to work by spiritual power. And spiritual power can take them way beyond because it is linked up with another source. It don't depend on what we are genetically. It depends on what our gene on the inside, the soul, where that comes from. So like that, to become your father, and yeah, but I have a next father. See that boy again. And my next father can do all things. Amen! Hallelujah! That is the place, friends. That is the place. You see, when you understand the message that has come, and you understand the emphasis of the Spirit, that's why in hearing the word, you're listening to the emphasis of the word. And while you listen to the emphasis of the word, you say, Lord, what am I in this for? What am I looking for really? Is it really that late, Father? I hear it, but I can't see for myself in the word. I hear the scriptures quote, but they're not revealed to me. Lord, put light on the scriptures. Let me catch it. Let me catch what that scripture is saying. Because if I say something, if I say you are here, if I say you are here to deliver the names in the book, if I see my name in the book and I see deliverance lacking in my life, I'm still in bondage, I'm still in captivity, I'm certain things. Lord God, then if you are here to do that, and now is that time, life happening, and that time is running out for us here, and the ones over on the other Jewish side will get it, then I don't have much time to get mine, and I want mine. I don't want to live like this. If I learn to adapt, to live like this and accept this, and go along life retarded, handicapped like a cripple. I can't do this and I can't do that. Well, let somebody else do it. No, I can't believe that. Well, you know, I just love God and God understands my situation. Not that. He's telling you he's here for something. He's telling you here, I'll be here in a certain time. At that time, you shall stand. What time is stand with me? Is it now, Lord? Oh, I own in the States. Let them make a plane and go up. You in Europe, let me go up. He said, no, but if he's in the desert in here, don't bother with that. Amen. You know, running here and here, he's a channel in the world. Job had a channel to bring you up into a faith that you have never known. You desire that? I'm trusting you're going to bring that faith to some hearts this morning. And he's building these hidden ones in the time of trouble. Look at it, Psalm 27, let me read it to you. David writing this psalm. Seems ordinary. But not until this day a prophet came and preached the rapture out of that scripture. And say, I have a strange way to set my text. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He wasn't afraid of nobody. He said, God, tell me, go with George, where is George Washington? I'll invite the whole world to see. He had fear for that bull. And he went for his gun, and God said, you don't have to fear that bull. And God showed him a power. He had fear for that storm. And God said, walk back into it. And he said, wait, I don't have fear no more. He began to learn certain things about this God who had come down in this day. This pillar of fire who met him in the cave, who opened the world to him, who took him down through life's journey in his walk with that God. Then at the end now, he says, the Lord is my life, my salvation. People were saying, I had a baptism, I met him at Pentecostal, but he's saying, the Lord is mine. And he wasn't just talking that randomly. He was talking about a one who had met him, who spoke to him, a little boy. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? They try to shoot him and come in his country with infrared lens in the night. He had the key to his calling. He wasn't afraid. He like a young man going to Africa. He said, God sent me to Africa. It's the safest place in the world for me to be. He had the key to his calling. When the wicked eat my enemies and my foes came upon me to eat of my pleasures, stumbled and fell. 300 of them in Chicago. Yes. Holy Spirit says, in the hotel room, go outside by the window. You go by the window and stood up there. Saw a vision. Saw the building they're trying to get, they wouldn't get. Saw the building they're going to get. Saw where every man going to sit down. Saw they're going to challenge them in the doctrine. But when they all gathered there, every man finger inside the text, every man being marked off from the room. When they see the man come to address them, he says, brethren, he says, you might want to question him on his doctrine. He said, Brother Branham told me exactly what's going to happen here in this place. All what's going to happen precisely exactly the way it is. He says, and furthermore, I'll let him come and take the platform himself. Hand kind of slip out of the Bible. People kind of slip under the chairs. And he said, you want to challenge my doctrine? He said, come and stand here before the pillar of fire. Coming to buy. He said, I heard you all introduced from you doctor so you doctor this, you doctor the other. He said, come and stand here. He said, the quietest bunch you ever heard of. Why? They tried to eat up his flesh, they tried to destroy him, tried to break his influence. They crucified the messenger and the prophets. Think of it. And you know what happened? He came to the place, he saw God fight his battle. God said, go! He said, you ain't going to fuss, you're going to guard the mercy seat. I'll stand with you. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Only be thou strong and be thou courageous. Oh, man. I'm trying to show you why it takes Psalm 27 here. For the rapture, what? Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Look at David in the natural. But David is only prophesying the spirit, you see. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. David knew of a house that God had in his mind, God's dwelling place. When God is going to bring that from a tabernacle, a skins, to a stone, a temple, and David's son was going to build it. It was only unfolding a further mystery. Because the real house that David wanted to dwell in wasn't that tabernacle there. Because God's house is the bride. That's the tabernacle. That's his dwelling place. Man was created to be the temple of God's rest. Know you not you're the temple of the living God? See? Watch. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all through my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And catch this now. This is the verse here. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. The word tabernacle is tent. He had a tent vision. That was connected to the rapture. You had a place in the time of trouble. Now get my thought. Daniel 12:1 is what? At that time, there will be a time of trouble such as never was upon the face of the earth. Matthew 24 is what? A time of trouble such as never was. From beginner sorrows to amateur tribulation to great tribulation. But between amateur tribulation and great tribulation, what's going to happen? The parousia of the Son of Man and the gathering of the eagles together. He's gathering them and taking them away when? In a time of trouble. The rapture is when? In a time of trouble. When that earthquake breaks and everything is shaken down. A resurrection in California goes on. A resurrection comes up. Think of it. It's a time of trouble. All of it, they open the paper. You see a little island like this. Look over a million and a half people almost were dying there in Zion. Rwandans. Running, refugees. That's more than the population of Trinidad and Tobago. And the world sit back here and watching them dragging their foot and wondering why? Because they're not Americans. They're not Europeans. See? They are, in other words, it's not our war. Let it kill itself. See? So when they become weakened, then we can move in. And we can control territory. We can control resources. See? Because it's going to make the plan more suitable for us. Yet, you'll take a whole army and go in to get one man down in Panama and blow up hospital and everything. You know what I'm saying? Yet you're going to Grenada for a handful of people in Little Spice Island and blow up the whole place. You see, you have to understand the world we live in, friend. Now, sometimes you don't see no motive and objective for that. But when you open the Bible, you see why they do that. Because they have a plan. That power is going to rise up there, that beast in Revelation 13 in the United States. Is that right? We speak of the voice of the dragon. You know the Bible? It's prophecy. It's for this hour. That Roman power over there in Europe, that Vatican City, is going to control the world. Exactly right. So they know what to get involved in. They don't want to let it work for them. They know how to have things going. And here, we as believers have a promise. I'm speaking to believers this morning. He didn't want to do the time of trouble. So I'm trying to bring a concept. I'm trying to teach this here in a place to show you. Paul said in Romans 9, you have to cut the work short, otherwise you'll be left like Sodom and Gomorrah. The promise that give the Pentecostal church 50 years, you'll come worse than the Catholics. See? When you walk on a homosexuals preaching the gospel and everything else. When you walk on a Ricky Hollywood Rickies and them and all these recapters, he called them back there. Because they all the haircuts and different things. You see what come out of the day? Right in Trinidad? Woman just a paint up, brother like Berger, Penta and Sissons all in one. And say, you're a dress for God, woman of God has a dress. That kind of woman is built just like God. That kind of woman get eaten under God's judgment by the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. But they don't know the Bible. Why? Because they prophesied to be blind. So look, you see that happen to the church. You see the condition the church is getting, the corruption. Well, to be elected once here, with all this happening, in a time of trouble. Religious troubles, political troubles, financial troubles, ecological troubles, national troubles, troubles everywhere. People are dying left and right. We live here. Doctors on strike here, doctors on strike in America, doctors on strike in Europe, doctors on strike everywhere. Why? When iniquity shall abound, love and many shall lock scores. See? Moses is one of that brass serpent. On the pole, they have it in the car, they have it in a stick on the door. But they like Moses. That represented Christ, that represented sin judge. That's a symbol of the medical profession. That's a vote that they take. Because your man's going to preach the gospel there. I ain't preaching if you raise the salary. I thought that was me. You do it as a calling. See? Why? The love of money is the root of all evil. Because you know, half the time they're charging people, they're messing around with people's lives half the time, $60 every visit sometimes, and they just open my book and say, let me see, this look like you have that, you know, try this. Take some of it. Say, doctor, that works. Well, come on, I'll give you a course of injections now. And then after say, well, I think you have to see the specialist. You see what I'm talking about? I want to get inside the tent. God works! We have to play God sometimes. See? Tell me, God, you believe in God? Say, I have to take care of life here when they come here. Oh, my, I tell you. You got about troubles. But watch this. Watch this promise here. Watch where the promised place is. For in the time of trouble, he went to the rapture, he took this year. He shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted above my enemies round about me. All the world comes to our churches. See? All the satanic religion that coming to what? Closed down places like this. All of them trying to enact principles in the law and talk about the drug business. Say now drug in the workplace. Drug test in the workplace. Now drugs are going to confiscate buildings and things of the drug lords. Do you know recently President Clinton in America signed an anti-terrorist act? And when he signed the anti-terrorist act, has less to do about anti-terrorism and more to do about religion and more to do about immigration? Okay, you have all the Trinidad islands up there afraid to travel home? They like to come to Carnival, but because you bumped a car, you know, some problem you had, yeah, you know, you tried to speed or drunken driving or something, or some petty crime, and it's on the record, every time you come up there, they can stamp your passport and put you off. Problem with immigration, and they do it to show a world image. We are the land of freedom. We stand for rights. We help the oppressed and the poor. We do these things here. And they get that world image and they control the whole world. But now the country's a mess. With all these aliens inside it. But they reap what you sow. Because they went and they were all the Indians and they were taking place in the beginning. So immigration come back to kill them too. Catholics build a population inside to destroy them. You can catch that concept? You can see how God has been judgment on things. You can see how God has backfired upon people. Didn't the prophet say she'll reap what she sow? Yeah. If God judged Israel, then God have to judge her too? Yeah. If God sings Sodom and Gomorrah, you have to sing that place and destroy it too? Yeah. Think of it, friends. We are speaking realistically here. Things that are happening around us. Things that we see every day. Why do those things come in? They're bringing America ready. All these laws being passed. They don't have to charge you for a crime and prove you in drugs, you know. They only have to say, we suspect you, we are the law, we suspect you, and I think we'll freeze this. We'll ban this temporarily, and that could mean 6, 10 years, 12 years. Sure. Until this ban you. You ain't hearing about no religion. You see the laws coming. Did the prophet say the world on that church will go out on TV and radio and make a set of noise? He said that they'll put pressure on governments so they enact principles into law, is what he said. So you see governments bringing in laws. You're not seeing nothing. But what is Jezebel method? What is the modus operandi? To work from behind. Kill a neighbor, kill this one, take his land, do this, but from behind. Is that the Bible? Yeah. That is why, friends, coming down through this year, preaching the gospel to you. We'll talk something later, just to show you how much will happen this year. But it's more than I'm going to concentrate right here. I want you to see and understand we are into a time where the Holy Spirit has come down and visited us, whether you recognize it or not, whether you understand it clearly or not. That's why when you come in, you sit under the word, a lot of things are flash through your mind. What are they all the time? That's what he's saying all the time. That's what he's saying every service.
Amen.
But he just can't seem to get some people quiet enough. He can't get some people to hold it long enough before they wiggle off here and wiggle off here and wiggle off here again. But what God is saying, he's trying to get a people ready. Prepared! And that is why when we see the things, the time of trouble is coming. I'm looking for him to shut me away in that pavilion, friends. Oh my, in his tent. He says, no, I'm going to have to move you away now. Go, and I'll meet you in there. I'll meet you now in there. No more out here. I'll meet you now in there. I'll take all my hidden words, out of organization, out of blasphemous names, and I'll meet them in the place where I place my name. That the only place I meet with the believer now, where I place my name. He said, and Lord, as you showed me in that dream the other night when I dreamt that name, saying, I'll meet you in there. Go back to the 81 and 82 tapes, that's what I'm saying. I'm still saying the same thing. I'll meet you in there. In his pavilion, in the time of trouble, as it comes upon us, We need security. That comet this year said he's taking them into safety in a day of wrath. Like God did for Noah, as it was in days of Noah. My spirit will not always strive with man. I'll have to cut his days short. I'll bring it down to 120. It's down to 50 and 40 now in a lifetime. People come in, did you know the papers the last couple of weeks? People committing the most serious crimes now at 16 and 17 years. In other words, they become real violent in the act of violence and murder and rape and buggery and tuggery and all these things between 14 and 16. And become the seasoned criminal at 17 and 18 doing the daring things. Sure. Understand what has happened to the society. Understand the corruption. Understand what kind of grip Satan has to have upon people. Did you see last week there when a couple of young 16, 17 year old boys walked into a police station? Who's the people afraid of police? Who knows some of the police are really bad in police station? When last you hate like that in the history of the island? It's fruit of a tree, friends. Don't you see the maturity of these things? Who's a couple of weeks ago, a young schoolboy was looking for who killed a schoolboy and wound the next one? For 15 years? In a time of trouble. Some do it as a religious cause. Go in the police station and bomb up the police station. Some do it for another individual purpose. Whether it come out as an organization, whether it come out as an individual, whatever it come out as. People don't need motives or no certain type of beliefs for certain things. It's an insane condition. It's a mental condition. It's gone. And friends, what I'm saying, is he sitting down here and then saying, yeah, look at the world outside, they're in a condition, look at the world in a condition there. I'm saying now, if people are walking here, what do we have to offer them? What is upon us strong enough The bed was around them. Where is this in your place? The standing in this church, the little group, lifted up to a place, anointed by the Spirit to deal with those things. How serious are we in our cause? How convinced are we that this hour, this time, that this is a revelation from the Bible, that you see it as the Word of God? Or it's just a sermon, a passing thing, an idea, you hear it, have no influence on you. Yeah, but I really want to know if we're going to beat the USA this evening. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking for that. If the Lord catches, if the Lord didn't keep a seed. You see, Scripture is the Word of God. Scripture is the thoughts of God. Scripture is not a storybook. When God says something that's in fallible mind, that up in the past, God is not God. That's the way a man must read the Scripture with. If God says something's going to happen at a certain time, if God says, cut the day short, no flesh will be saved. You say, why can't you cut this day short? A man say, you're in that time? And you believe cutting the day short? Oh, you mean that the Bible can make a mistake in more than 3 places? I'm talking about the value of what you believe this to be the Word of God. I'll finish the work and have to cut it short in righteousness. He said, because if God had left, if God didn't leave us a seed, we'd be like Sodom and Gomorrah. What does that mean? What is he getting at? No flesh will be saved, Jesus said. Jesus teaches that no flesh will be saved. Paul said we'll be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Perverted flesh, that God has to send fire and brimstone to turn it into ashes. Amen. That the righteous can walk out and afterwards. Amen. He turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, Peter said, into ashes. Amen. Malachi was the bird, they burn like all of them. Sodom and Gomorrah, he turned his back the last time before he burned that place. Abraham, that seed was crushed. And was changed in his body while these perish. No flesh they will see. But Abraham's flesh come back young. To finish the work. To finish is to bring to fulfillment, to accomplish. And the word work there is logos. It's really word. He will bring to fulfillment or accomplish his word. That's the work. I must be up my father's business. Where is doing the father's business? Where's the work? The work that I'm sent to do, I must finish this work. My meat is to finish the work that I'm sent for. What is that work? To finish it. Jesus said, I must finish the work. It means to bring to fulfillment, to accomplish the word. On what word? A remnant shall be saved. A remnant shall be saved. He said, Isaiah said, a remnant shall be saved. Otherwise, the whole thing was gone. God is going to have a seed, friends. Just like the prophet. That's the first wheat. First seed as wave. And God said, I am going to have seed like that. I'm going to have more of the same kind. In this age, Lord, could it be? I'm going to have it. Amen. And listen, and cut it short in righteousness. To cut it short is to execute or finish quickly. To hasten, a short word. An expedited, that is an expedited prophecy. He said it's going to be a quick, short message. Now when the prophet is talking about a quick, short message, he's talking scripture. He's talking scripture. And that is when, in the time of trouble, Because no flesh will be saved when that trouble starts. That trouble that is coming is trouble to trouble the whole world. Heaven and earth. The power of heaven will be shaken. That trouble that is coming is that no flesh will be saved when that trouble is done. He'll leave neither root nor branch. He mean branch and tree here, you know. Root and offspring. Branch from tree. What are we talking about? Leave neither root nor branch. Ancestors, descendants. Pull it out! The righteous will walk on the ashes of the wicked. Think of it. Noah went over into the new world. He and his family. The antediluvian world perished. And God started a new civilization. Is what he's talking about. Did you read recently, a couple of days ago? Them Russians, for 7 years, this whole mission to Mars, oh, they want to go to Mars, it's their life on Mars. Oh, the whole scientific world, they get caught life on Mars. I tell you, they started imagining and visioning. Mars was a planet that always attracted them. But you know Mars is the god of war. You know that? And so they want to go to Mars. They say, we can do it. If Columbus left Europe with 3 ships, a couple of men who didn't even know that about sailing, crossing the ocean they never went before, going beyond man's theory that the earth is flat and they'll fall over, had no real knowledge to chart this course around. And if he went out there and they landed there, they discovered the whole new world, he said, we have greater knowledge of space, greater trained people, better ship to make the voyage. We have more knowledge of the universe. We have to send things to probe space first. We send things to probe Mars. We bring back, we examine it. We know what type of atmosphere that we work it out, everything else. He says, we are more than able to do it. And the planned journey is going to take us 3 years. They have the astronauts being trained. How they're going to stay in that blackness of space for so long while they're out there. They have movies, they have things for the home videos and everything, so they don't get paranoid. You see, a man's accustomed to a certain type of environment. He can stay from that environment so long. When you want to come home, you want to see home. You want to see little children, you want to see little dog he play with. You want to eat the type of foods he like to eat at certain times. He like to go and do the certain type of activities he like at certain times. When you're out there in space in a shuttle, you look through your window, you ain't seen the street you live on. You ain't seen the baseball park you like to go on Saturdays. You ain't seen the restaurant like you like to go and eat. You ain't seen the place like you like to go and shop. You don't see the activity of people. It's the same set of people for 3 years, 4 or 5 of them. You have to spend that whole journey with them. I know how when people get together in close quarters for long, what has happened. They use experiments, they put 2 rats together in a cage. Before you know it, male rats are to go with male rats, female rats are to go with female rats. Everything gets perverted. Why? Because it changed up the atmosphere. Everything had its own environment when God created it. Everything had its own space. Everything had its own makeup to adapt to a certain condition. And when they get out of the place, they get deformed. Get a woman out of his place, she get deformed. Get a man out of his place, he get deformed. He gets 65. Is that right? When Lucifer got his place, he become the devil. When Lucifer got his place, he become a reptile. When the church got his place, become a denomination. He have to stay in the place. God orders man back to the place. It's a law. And that is why you watch and see. God in his wisdom, he laid things out a certain way. And so they out there, they want to do this. And for 7 years, one of the probe that they expect to give them the greatest knowledge, the USA cooperated with them, had certain things inside of that shuttle too, so that they are going to get this information, this fact-finding mission, that we'll be able now to be set on our schedule to go to Mars. Well, you know what happened? How many times they launched up the base? Bang! They thought they were going straight to Australia and crash. Everybody in Australia fearful because this thing carrying plutonium. Deadly, radioactive things inside it. And everybody gets scared. You see how people playing around with things? In the name of science, in the name of space, in the name of education, in the name of extraterrestrial research and all kinds of things to bring a better world or something. And really and truly, they know the earth is dying, it's falling apart. They want the next place to go and pollute. That is why you can see millions dying right here, just in a little air, a little medicine, they don't want to get involved, yet they're putting 7 billion to go and get some rock out in Mars. That's the world today. This is what Paul's talking about. This is the leading nations of the world. This is the people that come and take over the country. These are the people on the world here that live and influenced by everything else. Because revelation don't get a hold of their heart. They take this as church, this religion. We don't have to really give our life for this. We don't have to kind of observe this on certain days. But watch. Is that doom Russian space probe carrying deadly plutonium plunged into the South Pacific on Monday after causing a scare to hit Australia? I'm leaving for Australia Tuesday morning. Think of it. But a lot of all of them might get destroyed or they fall somewhere with the test back feebly. Wouldn't it be with a bat? See? Now all of us in them in panic. Might not nobody want to preach the message to, but we've got to have a little remnant here. In a time of trouble. In a time of trouble! Down under, God people still handicapped, still retarded in the message to move on. Making sort of sacrifice to have the word come to them in this season here. Watch. Look. The probe contains 4 plutonium-powered batteries. Each is sized for an ordinary film canister containing approximately 2,200 grams of plutonium altogether. Russian space authorities believe there is no danger of nuclear contamination. Can you imagine that? They believe, you have to worry about nuclear contamination. We build a thing to stand crash. You put all your effort to get the thing to go to Mars, it didn't even take out the Earth atmosphere good. The whole thing crash, and you expect me to come and believe you? And have confidence in you? And the bad thing, when the radiation, all the things let loose, that they dumped in all them toxic things in the ocean for years? All the oil spills, they have killed all the ecosystem too? And now all the failed space program, everything, all the deadly radioactive things falling into the sea. Think of it, friends. Then you know what happened? How did the acid rain? How did all kinds of different things? How did fishes come up and come to the food chain? And get into the human being? Man with the wisdom. See? The billion-dollar Mars 96 station was launched from Baikonur Space Center last Sunday, but failed to leave Earth's orbit after the fourth Stevens rocket misfired. I think that's what happened to a lot of these rockets around these days. These a lot of crazy astronauts, who are not even astronauts, trying to move up in the space and can't get out of Earth's orbit. And then spilling all the deadly toxic things all around to destroy a lot of people. Time to get some real astronauts to the scene. Amen! Amen. But break Earth's orbit, amen! Break the sun barrier, the sin barrier, and get that wall of perfect faith to walk in the presence of God. Amen! Amen. God said, cut it short. Otherwise, nothing would be saved. Except the Lord had left us a seed, we had been at Sodom and Gomorrah. What seed? I was looking up this word last night. It was very interesting. Seed here is sperma. It means the grain or the kernel which contains within itself the germ of future plants. You get that? It means the grain or kernel which contain within itself the germ of the future plants. Where was every other corner? If the corn had fallen, it would have died and died alone. But it fall, it bring forth much fruit. It'll bring forth more corns of wheat. It'll bring forth more like Jesus. Think of it. In this day, we see the Son of Man revealed. Here was one, a corn of wheat. But in him,
had the light to multiply and replenish the kingdom and pick up a crop in this hour of people, other sons of God, in the same image and likeness. It's a seed. Metaphorically speaking of a seed, that is a residue, a remnant, or a few survivors, reserved as the germ of a new race. Just as the seed is kept from the harvest for the sowing. Man have a harvest, seed for the eater. See? Seed for the sower and bread for the eater. He takes part of his crop, he puts it in his barn for food, so he can nourish and sustain his family. That famine don't. And then he keeps part of his grain to sow and replant and multiply and replenish his field. So what it is? God, come up in this day with a corn of wheat. God couldn't see another one around. But if that one had fallen in the ground and died, if that one could have died to the systems and rot to the denominational politics and rot to the Hollywood evangelism and rot away from them things and become a prisoner to the world, God was going to be able to bring for the crop. That's why he said, think it was easy to bring this message? He said, I had a fight with battles, been cut deep many times, whether I sacrifice and give up to preach this message. Think of it, friends. You think it was easy for this church to come the way it was? During the last 20 years, is it a popular place everybody just flocked to? If God didn't keep a seed, it'd be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Because every filthy, corrupt thing passed right through this place. And you have to fight it. You have to tear it down. You have to burn it out. You have to withstand it. Sure. That can remain clean. It can remain unpolluted. It could be a seed that could be planted to bring forth life to people. Amen. The grain, the kernel that contains in itself the germ of future plants. A residue. A residue that God has kept, a few survivors, a few that survived being destroyed, a few grains, a seed, God has kept a seed, a remnant. You feel you are one of them seed this morning? In all the corruption, all the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, all the pressure of the devil, all the temptations, three temptations of churches, three temptations of women, three temptations of men, three temptations every believer has to go through, three temptations of ministers, money, popularity, and women. Sure. You have to fight daily, all kinds of different things. You have to love the world and love God more than anything else. You have to suffer from friendships. You have to stand and tell people who help you and different things, make that which right and which wrong. Popularity can be important to you. Amen. You understand the truth? Amen. Knowing that God is going to hold you responsible and accountable. Amen. Knowing that God is looking to see what kind of spirit moves in you. Amen. Sure. Amen. How could we be the bride and our lives is not challenged if all is against this truth? How could we be the bride and every day we don't have to fight for every inch of ground we have to walk on? How can we be the bride and no battle in our lives, no real fortification, no real desperation fighting? I claim we are the bride. Is the bride in the battle right now? Amen. Because her purification is here, not in the tribulation. Here she's being purified. She doesn't go through tribulation or purification. She gets hers here. She has to wrestle here. The doubt that the blood can be applied effectively in her life and break up every molecule of sin and you can stand there without justifying. A fight to take the place that God says yours. A fight to be positioned in place after God reveals to you, you are a daughter of God. I call you to be a virtuous woman. A put away take inside of you to withstand every serpent, every pressure, every hissing thing. I put some inside of you that's godly, they're throwing them filthy clothes. Amen. Amen. Sure. Put something a man to stand here. I call it to be a man. A real man with character, with backbone. A real man that got black and white, right? Not arrogant. Not taking the pulpit. He didn't say in the pulpit. But to stand toe to toe with men and say, you're wrong, brother, you're wrong. You should treat your wife better than that. You should handle your wife better than that. And brother, that association will do you no good. You should walk away from that. Sure! Is the way we ought to be? But it is overcoming. To him that overcome it. How can you overcome if there's not a battle? How can you have a testimony if there's not a real test? And there's testing and the final testing before the promise to prove that you are worthy of this promise. But if God will leave a seed, we have like Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what he said to us? Men perverting men to their own acts. He said, when down in Sodom, and then the angels went down there. Them men wanted to pervert the angels to their acts. He said, and so they're trying to pervert you to their religious acts. Because man over man is perverted. Woman over woman is perverted. Man wants to be led by God. Amen! Who is we under husband? Sure. That's the Bible. Why? You have to be a seed. Otherwise, no flesh will be saved. You have to be a seed for the rapture. Listen to this. Why are we not in denomination? He says sin can keep corrupting. Righteous seed can remain in the air, and seed can keep corrupting and corrupting and corrupting. Till after a while it runs out. It gets to a place because their mothers and daddies and so forth have lived so before us. And by and that, until there's nothing left for us. And you know what Jesus said, if he didn't cut the work short, there'd not be no flesh for you. Think of it, even the hybrid food we eat can destroy his body. The perverted religion destroying our soul. Think of it. Fourth dimension opens up to pervert our own spirit too. All these advertisements and everything else make people a bunch of clowns and comics and everything else. Actors. He's a Pharisee, meaning an actor. Is what it is. Look. It's anything to happen to the Lord. Say, God, look at the nation. Look at the church. How it swallowed that stuff up. Just of Satan, so easy. Satan has fed them this corruption of hell, and many thousands have believed it. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. Come, you said if the hook wasn't cut short, there'd be no flesh saved. Truly we see it in ourselves today. Seeing the falling away, get it? And the cooling off. May the remnant that escapes out of this Babylon, may it rise and shine. May you fill them with the power of God and the Holy Spirit come upon the Lord and perform your great works. And pull out that which is ordained to eternal life back into the fold again. Grant it, Lord. Oh, my. Think of it. To escape this Babylon, this corruption. And that no flesh will be saved. Because remember, if that soul is perverted, you have to be changed in your nature, to be changed in your soul. God has to change your atmosphere first. Then your soul can be changed. Only if you are changing the soul, will be changing the bodies. And you have to change in the body before you can change dimensions. How are you going to go in the rapture if your body didn't change? You must change in your body before you change dimensions. And how can you change in your soul if your atmosphere ain't changed? I see the hole in you, in an atmosphere of the world, an influence of the world. How could that produce a spirit and an influence upon you to break you into a heavenly realm where you can live under a heavenly atmosphere, where quickening power in your soul could raise you up and turn your body heavenly? Think of it. Why did Abraham was changing his body and Sodom was destroyed in the flesh? Because Abraham's soul is feeling the mysteries of God. He had no son, El Shaddai. He was walking in the line of the promise. He was living under the atmosphere of God. He dwelt in Hebron. Place of communion and love and fellowship. Look at them Jews right now. standing there in Hebron. Few loyal ones. The rest like Sodom and Gomorrah. But we ain't give up Hebron. We're going to fight. If they go on to give up the land, it's a business. But see this little piece here? This Hebron. They know the history of Hebron. No politician can talk about it. Think of it, guys. People can talk about a lot of stuff. God wants you in your heart to see that He has something for you. God wants you to know He has something for you. He wants to give it to you. But He wants you to believe Him. He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to get in condition to receive it. He wants you to understand, you know, coming to things of God in a natural way. You have to be obedient, yielding to the Spirit to hear and to know. How to apply that word. How to make it operative. How to work with the Holy Spirit. He wants to bring you to realities of God. He don't want you just to read about them and say, oh, Fanny Crosby is in the Spirit. Oh, Mary, say my soul and magnify God and I rejoice my Savior. God say, she's a type of you. She only showing what I want to do for you. But I'll make you laugh like He makes Sarah laugh. Amen. Glory. I want to bring you to a place. Give you some dunamis. Glory. But then it don't come easy. You see, if it just comes easy, we just like the world. But you have to show, no, where the carcass is, there will the eagles. Rugged. Something rugged about you. Listen to this. Just reading some quotes here. How are you going to cut the work short? Listen. The corruption. The widespread corruption. You sit in the church, see young girl come and say, I serve God. Oh, she loved the Lord. God touch her. She's going through a hard time. Holy Spirit come pick her up in a service, deal with her. She comes in. She had to pray. Never prayed in her life. She had to get into her atmosphere. She's been to feel the presence of God. Oh, this is real. This is not just hearsay. She's close to God at that moment. God wants to hold her right there. You can only hold her there. That's the place you want her. She loved the word. She's hearing these things. Mine. She thought she couldn't understand things. She thought I was only for ministers. Then the Holy Spirit started to get plain right there. And next thing you know, she started to get, maybe look at the wrong people. Started to get in the wrong company. Started to get people invading her space and can't keep them out. And then they bring in their own spirit to contaminate and pollute her atmosphere. Kill you in here, so and so. And all that. All that smoke, all that them smokestacks started to pollute up the whole atmosphere. Next thing, she started to cough, spiritual cough. Started to pick up all kind of things because all them toxic things now coming out. She listening to it, take it in here. Next thing, she's spirit started to get contaminated. See? Why? Because sometimes she just needs to speak up a little bit and say, I don't want to hear that. Can we talk about something else? She says, that is you and the person, don't bring involved me in it. That is you and the person. For me, my relationship with the person is fine. If you have a problem with them, that is you. Don't try to make me have a problem with them too. You're trying to solicit help. You want support for your cause. You see me as such a person that joined that cause? That is a cause? See? They just don't even have a little repellent. No repellent. Because sometimes they feel, you know, but I have much friends and nobody really talk to me and all that myself, so no, I gain some friends. Not going to lose my friends. God didn't give them friends. When God gave friends, it's friends to help you. Amen. Friends who love what you love. Amen. Friends who stand where you want to stand. Because evil communication is corrupt good morals. Amen. Right there, see there. Instead of end up going out to space, Don't say yourself specific. With all the toxic thing now, pollute the holy atmosphere that they fall into. Oh my God, help us. Ah, help me, Lord. Let me try to break up this quickly. I want you to see the time that this trouble is going to escalate. The time of trouble such as never was since upon the face of the earth. We were talking last night. What a privilege believers have to know that the seven seals are open. We as believers know that this, under the sixth seal, we are heading into a period of time where the earth will go through such convulsions, nature will take such a tumble, that all the catastrophe will not come basically because of this army going to fight here, or this girl going to take over here, or the drug trade over here. Is that the whole thing going to collapse is because nature takes a tumble. God will bring a destruction to the system by bringing plagues and judgments in nature. Because man who destroyed the earth, it comes back upon them. That's why you get in the tribulation period, Moses and Elijah there, they call in plagues in the heavens, in the sea, in the rivers. See? You get over under the vase, it's darkness on the earth. See? It's all these things taking place. Why? People rotten in the flesh. Pestilence. And this is breaking out. Is what's going to cause it. And so they look out there and they feel, no, we can manage it. Say, praise God. We are longing for that. Green cars are coming. We have passed some laws on the factories. No more electric gas. No more electric gas. No more this. Clear up the environment. No smoking and flights. Ban all these kind of pesticides and weedicides. We're going to get it back. And so I'm good. But God gave them a delusion to believe their own lie. They set out the probe. They say, it looks like it could repair. The way it could go out, it might mean we're going to shoot a lot of stuff up inside of you. And we'll heal back quickly. That ocean hole is going to repair. California, we're going to build the bridges and all these different things out. With the technology the Japanese have, they kind of move and expand, and we'll have less damage. And we're going to control a lot of these things we control on Earth by satellites in the sky now. Like when all them banks, machines, a couple of months ago, just went bang! Can't function. Everybody money in the bank, they can't get it out. Nobody can withdraw nothing. All them ATM machines, defunct. You know what it is? It's a satellite and there's a controller. See, is this kind of system we're coming into? But they know just how in the media to keep our mind just where they want it. Like I said, 1.5 million people dying and they have 24 hours of basketball. And they're already drunk on that, so nobody had time to watch no news. They take them in the game. This game, college game, final. This final there, ice hockey over here. Soccer over here. This here. Hey, special hot movie coming over here. World premiere. This coming over here, yeah. Shopping, this over here. And people dying left and right, the whole world collapsing. And they have them drunk on something else. The prophet and the message foreman laughing and say, is it a plan? To put them to sleep. You see, you know, that was something you try to wake people up. This message to wake up the bride, you're going to wake up people. So people, what's the matter with you? We're going to the 21st century. And people living like they're still living back in 18-something. The scripture is fulfilled, the time is run out. The day is cut short. He said, every 2,000 years, the system collapsed. Since 1961, he said, God is going to cut the day short. We're 1996, Roman calendar now. The Jewish calendar, Roman calendar. Going to 1997. And still people don't wake up. They're going along. They're normal. Once we tell them, they can be happy. Their culture are so... That's why I want the word to get them and wake you up. It's not about bread and butter. It's not about clothes. It's about born for a purpose to fulfill the world in this hour. That's what it's all about. And this is where, friends, you want to say, Lord, these days is to be cut short. The beginning of sorrows, you looking for beginning of sorrows or great tribulation is upon us? Is it amateur tribulation coming? Or beginning of sorrows and amateur tribulation already gone? You know what I'm saying? Amen. I'm saying, what's the scripture? I'm not forcing you. This is the scripture. Where the cutting short going to come? Think of it. Where are you going to cut the day short? Think of it. Somebody, I refer to. Have an article here, saying astronomers and physicists have called for a worldwide network of telescopes to score the skies for looming asteroids, which they say could wipe out the human race. And at the Anglo-Australian Observatory in Siding Spring, Australia, said it was time for governments to wake up to the impending threat from outer space. The Australian Research Station is due to close at the end of 1996 because funding is not being renewed by the Australian government. Without it, near-Earth asteroids, which are only visible from the southern hemisphere, will remain hidden. And then they talk about it's a low probability event, but nevertheless, it's a very high consequence event. It's a low probability event. That may happen maybe one in the next 6 million years. By the time we colonize Mars and we colonize Jupiter, we'll be able to be free from that. It'll be a dying planet. They're already making the futuristic kind of pictures to show you the late planet Earth and so on. But watch. God shall stone them with hailstones. I'll stone the generation. It'll fall in the sky. Meteoric showers isn't going to come. It will come right into the atmosphere. The whole atmosphere is destroyed already. The atmosphere is polluted and destroyed. What do you think is happening when your atmosphere gets polluted? What did happen? You know, everybody be concerned about the ozone hole up there and the Earth atmosphere. What about your atmosphere? Doesn't fallen stars fall into your atmosphere too? Sure. Fall into this earth? When your fallen star fall in this earth? Because have no atmosphere to keep that out, you know? When they come and hit the atmosphere, sir, it's like 10,000 volts to take a flight for a season. Get next orbit. Orbit around some other planet. Not this one here. See? Them demons know who to go upon. He said, I know Paul or Jesus. I ain't them at all. Demons know, friends. They say low probability event. You know why? The 60 is not open to them. They don't know the 60. But you know why the church knows about the 60? It's because they ask, when shall these things be? What is the sign of your coming? And then the end of the world? Three questions, and he answered them to Daniel. He even went in the abomination, make a desolation. He even went quoting Daniel there. Then he even went on quoting Daniel. No trouble like the big, like this. Even the destruction of the temple, quoting Daniel. Not one stone remains standing, the sanctuary destroyed of love. Is Daniel is it? What's the something. He said, I must take these 7 weeks because these are all these weeks come in. Amen. Otherwise, you'll learn nothing when you go in there. Amen. And after half a mile across, hitting the earth would release energy equivalent to around 100,000 megatons of TNT. That is 2,000 times the energy of the largest hydrogen bomb ever tested. Such an impact would kill up to half the human population and create a nuclear winter by blotting out the sun with dust. Reading the Bible says there's no sunlight for five months. It's coming. Time of trouble like never before. But you know something? In the time of trouble, I'll hide. I'll take my elect away. I'll give them the two wings of a great eagle to fly to a place of safety. I'll take them into my tabernacle. In the where I'm hiding them? In the secret. The rapture is a revelation only for the bride. If they had known what hour he was coming, they don't know to watch. No. He said, but you, I'll tell you how. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. No man knows the day, but I'll tell you how. He said, because they knew it not until the flood came. But Noah knew when to enter in. Noah knew when the door closed. Only Noah and his group knew when that door swung shut. And the last part of the ministry went down to the doom. Is that the Bible? Then, as the angel came to Daniel to make them things known, he said, the Holy Ghost is going to come to the church to reveal them things to get the church ready to go out. So I can hide them in my pavilion, in the secret of my tabernacle. I'll hide them. When he takes Rebecca into his tent, meet in the field in the evening time when Eliezer brought her. But he took her to the Father's house. Hallelujah! Hurry! She had watered the camel. Obedient to the messenger. It passed to meet the unseen bridegroom. How many know that is the type of the rapture? Oh, man. I'm going to close. Let me read a couple of quotes and close. Huh? We have to come back because I don't want to wear you out. I'm just barely getting started, but I wanted not just to preach in a way to Paul's information, but to try to catch the feeling in your heart, what you're pulling for, what it is you're looking for. You've sat down this year, conditions for cleansing, restored fellowship, January, the ashes of the red heifer. God wants to unite people, keep them in fellowship. What for? The will of God, the revelation of God's will is associated with fellowship. God has things to reveal to people this year, to put into their heart about the going away. And he wanted to get them to a place where they could stay under his leadership and his influence. Then from there we come. Jubilee. Another jubilee, the Lord's release. Living on the rest after the debt is paid off. Sure. Bring empty vessels into the house and shut the door. When you bring them in, it's an apart. Pay your debt! And you owe no man nothing. The devil have no claim upon you. Your debt is paid. You're living your victory! And you have a lot still remaining. Down to November 96. Still living on the rest. Sure. Walking, you're going to just put your attention on some things. You're going to have to come and have the Lord suffer later, so we're not really going to be preaching. I say that way, but I don't mean it like preaching. It's just to inform you as the church is gathered together here, so you can keep better focus. Your prayer can be in the channel, your spirit and your participation, your involvement, your commitment to the work can be in the quality and the measure where it ought to be, and together as a body unified under the headship of the Word, we all know in our place, we can move in rank and file in the rhythm of the Word and see God bring to pass the things we promise. When you take these scriptures and you see it, my brothers, my sisters, young brothers and young sisters too, remember, it's not so much what you understand here in the mind as much as what you believe in your heart here. What God does, God don't leave you to understand everything. God has taken a servant. God has vindicated that servant. God gave confidence in what he's saying, and then you believe what he says. How shall we do the works of God? Believe on whom God has sent. Sure, you'll understand a lot, because a lot you'll get on your personal level, but you don't want to get all what he says. But you have to believe all what he says. And if you could believe, then nothing will stand before you, not even cancer. If you get the people to believe you. And I preach these things in a way that you could believe me, because I am saying what he said and the Bible. I'm not trying to make it bigger. I'm not trying to make it smaller. I'm not trying to give you no certain slack. I'm not trying to get you to behave the way I want to see you behave. I'm trying to preach that God can reveal it to you. See, sometimes in preaching, you can want the people to behave a certain way you want them to behave. I want to preach the word clear, and the Spirit reveal it to you. You will have the right behavior. Because see, it's not a comfort routine behavior. It's a behavior of faith in relation to what you face. It's a behavior reflecting the leadership of the Spirit. It's a behavior when you have the mind and the word for the situation. It's not a church behavior. We all say, hallelujah! We all sit down. It's not a kind of behavior. It's a behavior you know what to do with the word when the situation comes. Because if each one has the position, he's going to have to act out the position. The behavior will be in relation to the position. You know what I'm saying? But be Christ. That's why I try to hold the word before you. If I emphasize the word, I'm driving on something to let you see this need emphasis, because it's needy among us. Because many of us take it shallow on the surface, and we need to dig deeper into it. And the word might be emphasized. Many of you might be just going along, you know, unconcerned, and the word might say, get in line. I'm trying to show you that, not just because as an individual, but the whole church and the whole move could be hindered when you are members out of line too. Sick could go back home sick. Captive could go back home captive and not delivered. So that's why you want people to be trained up in the word in the right way. Yet without taking away your liberty, unchristianizing you, where you can know and have confidence because you understand your place in the scripture. Amen. The Philadelphian age, look at this. Let's read a couple and close. Now this great temptation, the hour of temptation that shall come to try the whole world, goes into tribulation. He says, and the tribulation did not come in the days of Wesley. So what ages are we in? What's the door that's set before? It's between the Wesley and where the church is headed right now. Already into the Laodicean. But this little place right in here, he's talking about between the Methodist age and the Laodicean age. The church goes into the Laodicean age, the church world, and that's why we had those messages on the apostasy, where it goes into blackout. Remember, the bride comes out of that and goes up. Remember that USA church was going down, but the other one was going up in the vision, the preview of the bride. So, in there, you are catching something that has to deal with going away. You are catching something about the rapture and the conditions for the rapture. You see the time of trouble. When does the quick short all come? In the time of trouble. When does he cut the work short? In the time of trouble. Why does he cut it short? So that the bride could be saved. Otherwise, no flesh would be saved. If it was possible, elect would get deceived if he didn't cut it short. She get caught in all the corruption. But it's because by election, there's a calling and a sealing. Michael will stand. What for? To deliver the names in the book. He's going. The Holy Spirit is only looking for those predestinated ones. That's the one he comes to first. That's why your neighbor there, a nice lady, but you have to bypass her because she's not in the election. You have to get you to see a message. Recognize the day and your message. Their time will come. They have still have time to spend on earth. Going through the tribulation. You have time to get off the earth. You have time to get off the earth and run out. So you have to get you to get off the earth. They're going to be on the earth still. They're going to go through. They're going to go into work on their churches. They're going to take the mark of the beast. They're going to go along for a while, having a good time. They're going to live out the Moses I didn't dare to. And then when the whole world is going to fall apart in Armageddon, then they realize, I didn't survive. Some of them might even go before. When California goes down, some of them islands might flee to. One message here is insufficient this morning, sir. Bring you the magnitude of the trouble. I want to show you how that trouble had escalated. How it started. See, when that fourth seal, pestilence, earthquake, devastation, leading, this is only the beginning of something. Then the fifth seal, 6 million Jews die in the Holocaust, amateur tribulation. Look at nations now. Not human beings that get cold-hearted and evil, individual, or a family or something. On a national level now, a nation is going to destroy a nation, genocide, for no other reason, just because they are Jews. And the rest of the world stand by. After 6 million died, then they tried to run in. And when they were in there, a lot of politics afterwards. I'm sitting there, people still struggling, back in the homeland. How many of the Holocaust? And going straight now to the Roman power. Deception. And for the 50 years, they survived as a nation. The fighting endless was all of arms trying to kill him, and America played endless politics with him. And then he went straight into Roman power. You see the Bible? Yeah. 50 years through this message I've been in the earth. 1946, God sent a prophet out. 50 years. Here we are, going to 1997. Next time I preach to you, might be old as night. Should the Lord tarry? Should I spare my life? And I come back to be here with you. And if this is my last message, I'm preaching to you. That angel has come down. A calling out and a sealing. I'm moving away his elected ones. Where? In the secret. Oh, the rubbing shoulders of the world. Bumping into them every day, out in the workplace, different places. But you know something? They're hidden in the secret. They say, girl, how you been dressed so? Say, you can't put a little pink shirt? Boy, how you been pass up that? You stupid, it was there taking that, boy. They don't understand. They have nothing to do with the pressure. But you have the righteous running to a place and he says, your pressure gone? They're worried over that. Then the boy, let me go and strike, boy. Come on, let me go, boy. Otherwise, when the time comes, nobody will stand for me, you know. The Lord opened the boy's eyes. Amen. Hallelujah. Why? You walk in the next realm. You're hidden in the secret. If you abide in my word and my word abide in you, ask what you want. In a place of the Job had a channel by revelation that opened up to him. It was an open channel. He lived in it. The information highway, where is the link up with God? Had access to God. Oh, a little trouble around, but he knew what to do. God him in a blizzard. Circumstances go contrary. Something went to endanger your life here. Something come in your family here, want to destroy your wife. Whatever it is, you're in a channel. A man standing under the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! You guys, you're in a channel here.
something for the people under your ministry who connect with you, the unsaved children, whatever it is, you have something for them too. It's a channel. Why? He hid you away in the secret of his tabernacle. Esther. In times of trouble and inward struggle, when it seems the end of the way, seeking his direction, I'm longing for perfection. We're going to take a little break, a little relaxation, some sweet fellowship. I don't know about meals. We don't have any prepared. If you have, share what you have with your neighbor. Be friendly. Be kind. Amen. You have a little change in your pocket and you want to buy something to help somebody who don't have, or some of the little children who may not have. Be generous. Be kind. When we come this evening, we don't have to come as though we're hungry to the Lord's table. We can eat at home. We're going to be out in the grounds. We're going to get a chance to fellowship with each other. I'll get a better time to tell you my goodbye this evening. But I wanted this little time to keep you focused. For your heart to get into the place. What the Holy Spirit have done for us, friends. What he's doing for us in this year. What is available. I want to stimulate faith in your heart. I want the Holy Spirit to encourage you. That you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God keeps his word. Amen. I'm trying to find it in the book. I can't see it. If only somebody else could find it and just pass the book to me, I'll appreciate that. But let's just sing. Okay, I think I get it. 220. Times of trouble and in what trouble. I only need this morning. Feel his hand in mine. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yes,
somebody. Let the heat to him. Let's see what he's doing. Let's see what he's doing now. And how great, how great. I've been to change and have a song. Oh, God.
To a realm of divine revelation, where we can walk close in this hour. We see all fighting a battle. Oh God, give us courage, give us strength, dear Lord. Renew our faith, renew our conviction, renew our commitment. Let us find the strength we need to carry on. Hide us from the secret of your presence. Let the veil fall over us. When we shut in the presence of the great Shekinah glory, in that tenth vision, in that third quarter, in that holy of holies. Oh God, follow the inside of the inside. May you plant it, Lord, in the place where you place your name. In that mystery, in the Gentile prophet and the Jewish prophet, Lord. Lord, for that channel you have opened up to give us a perfect faith. May you plant it, Lord. May we be real to the hearts of your children. Surely, dear God, in a congregation, I think you are very weak. And as we look to you now, believing that your grace and mercy will come personally now and minister in healing and deliverance. Whatever your children have need of, as we stand here waiting upon you, Lord, we'll find you faithful. Will you do that, Father? We are looking to you, the author, the finisher of our faith. That's a promise that you made to us, Lord. Lord, when we read of you and perform that you have spoken. Hallelujah. We should stand praying. Believe that you have received what you asked for, and you shall have it. And so, Lord, as you quiet our spirit and you have our faith focused, our mind centered on thee in these next few moments, oh great God, I pray, Father, you would give something that when we come back this evening, it's like Abraham, after he fought the battle, after he won the victory, he came marching the victor's march and he got communion from Melchizedek, dear God. So may now, in this time, we wrestle out these things. Demon powers trying to invade our space, trying to come into our atmosphere, trying to break down the atmosphere. Fallen stars that want to come into our earth, Lord. Oh God, may your Holy Spirit overshadow us with your great mighty presence. And may the faith rise in the innermost of our being, Father. And Lord, all these that need a touch from you, may they find you faithful. God, may you grant it. We look to you now, Father, we wait upon you. I pray throughout this building, all in the mother's room, all around the building, dear God, Father, even on the hill, where different ones are tuned in, listening, dear God, in the rooms, at the side, your great holy presence that is here. No, God, that in this time that we take a little interval to come and gather together, dear God, your great visitation, Lord, among your people, the Lord, those who come and expect it, sitting under the word, have you seen areas in their lives? Things that they have struggled with. Places in the dance of power be broken. And they can walk in the liberty. They can live in the enjoyment of the blessings and the privileges that you have given unto them. I pray, dear God, that we will see such reality now. Knowing, oh God, that you are in speaking distance. You are in hearing distance. Hallelujah. Oh God, and touching Jesus, all that matters. Hallelujah. Do you just reach out and catch my faith? Let the Holy Spirit, this great pillar of fire, who shined upon this world, who anointed us to preach this gospel, to hear today, Lord, now move in our innermost being, dear God, with faith, lift us up into a realm where we can walk closer with you in this hour. How we desire that, Father, and how we look to you, in the name of Jesus Christ. I just want you to the building right now, right where you stand, right where you're believing, right where you want to get this sentence. This great network of the Holy Spirit right here. Just get connected in, just get tuned in. You should be. This great God who is faithful, not going to write anxiety or exuberance, but His faithfulness, His character, He's called faithful and true. Hallelujah, this great Michael, this great Prince, this great Archangel, the Captain of the Lord Host. This great one who has come down in Revelation 10 with the open book to deliver the names found in that book. In this time of trouble, in this seventh trumpet, when the world is falling apart and the millennium has been ushered in, when hell has been created on the earth, in this great time of trouble, but darkness on the earth and upon the peoples, but arise and shine, your light is coming. Hallelujah! In this great time, when He's taking D1, when the wise ones are going to go in with Him, take them away, reveal to them the hour, reveal to them the time and the seasons, to give them the expectation they can move with Him in season. And you see something in your heart,
something you're desiring. Know He's able. I know He's faithful. I know He's present. I know He's interested. Just believe Him. I want to put a prayer of faith right here in the presence of Almighty God. And I want my listening brothers to stand with me and unite with me in the faith and the spirit. And all the officers for all people here who have gathered here today, who God has given this responsibility to watch over, that they can receive good things from God. He said, in a time of trouble, you hide them away. He will give you the strength to carry on, the Son says. You will put your hand in His hand. He is faithful. He is faithful. Why don't we just flip that hand off and hold the hand of the person next to you? Why don't we just do that? And just get a real network of faith here moving. Let the Holy Spirit just move through the souls. Faith to faith. Eagle to eagle. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And you believe in His presence like this, united, the anointing upon the head, coming on the body, how good and pleasant it is to bring His blood together in unity. As it bathes right down, all the way down to the least member, down to the skirt of the garment, hem of the garment. Hallelujah. Father, now with bowed head, bowed heart and humility, beating with faith and confidence, not in our own merits, but because of the sufficiency and the completeness of what you have done for us, and the concern and the interest that you have shown, Father, because of your great presence, because of the great divine love, Lord, knowing that God, we come in a place like this, packed with too much people. Sometimes we will maintain the continuity of the attention and be able to keep focus throughout the length of a service in a hot building like this to be difficult. Some is able because they're more built up. Some attention span is shorter than some. That don't condemn no one, Father. You know how to feed each and every one, dear God. You know how to bring to their hearts your believing children. Because there is something in them that can sense your presence. Dear God, as we stand here now in unity, remember you said endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And this great united time, when we unite the world, and now we unite with each other who has united with the world. And we are in union with you, Lord. And one of these days, this great union will bring a uniting even with the resurrected ones. And together we'll all be united for all eternity. But right now, Father, we stand here in union with you. And we realize that God, there is need in our midst. And their hearts of your children and their minds, Lord, they are focused upon these needs right now. And there's something we need the strength to carry on. To be hid away where the veil can fall over us, where the world is shut out and we are shut in, Father. Shut in with God in a secret place. Yeah, the Spirit be holding your feet. Give not power to run the street. We just so love to be shut in with you. All is well, Father. A place of perfect rest behind the inner veil. Hallelujah! Where great resurrection faith and you should have woman had a confession in the midst of adversity. Of what you are able to do, Lord. And so, Father, standing here today like that, united together, I pray to you, Lord, my brothers and sisters here, the servant, other servants and officers, we all united together, looking to your Heavenly Father, our great God who we serve, the head of the body. Surely you know our effort here in this place is for the advancement of your kingdom, for the perfecting of the faith of the saints. And so, Lord, knowing that you will not withhold no good thing from us that we have need of, whether it's a touch of healing in the body, whether it's deliverance from oppression in the spirit,
whether to bring a change of sin upon the soul, whether to bring a new birth by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, whether to bring a new charge of faith, dear God, whether to open your understanding to give enlightenment in the Scripture, whether, dear God, is to see unsaved ones delivered, whatever it is, Father. You so told Abraham in that hour of your appearing, in that time of great trouble, is there anything you have for the Lord? You are still the same, Father. And so we are believing you, we are trusting you. Now, Father, out of the sincerity of our hearts, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that you, out of the abundance of your riches and grace, with minister, you are the great Jehovah Jireh, the great Jehovah Rapha, the great Jehovah Shammah. You are more than enough for us. Give, Lord, to your children, those who need financial help, those who I need, O God, part of a home, of a job, of different things, O God, where if he is so great and the devil is useless to bring oppression. Lord God, those who are in the body, the devil is not to hinder them and throw us in the path. Those that are going to get oppressed and catch the breakthrough over that channel, dear God. In the name of Jesus Christ, may you grant, Lord, let the Holy Ghost flow to your church, Lord. Let them heart to heart, Lord. As you believe, you unite together, pray for each other, dear God. Eagle today, may they come and make surge of the Holy Spirit, dear God. And you empower your children, Lord. Lord, you will take a faith and a confidence, Lord. You will take away our guilt, you will take away our fear, you will take away our condemnation, oh God. You will bring joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. May you grant it, Lord. You will lift up and strengthen them. Grant, dear God, we commit them into your hands. And we thank you in advance what you do. Even the faith in the business, oh God, will not that man be desiring to receive you to walk in the light of your word, sitting here today. Oh God, we are more than willing, Lord God, here to minister unto them personally, individually, as they need. I pray, oh God, they will not leave this place unattended, Lord. But Lord God, those that desire, even to come down closer walk, Father, will find a pocket of grace open in the house of David. May you grant it, Lord. Give us a little rest in the interval. Watch over us. Keep us under divine influence in our fellowship. In our time of little meal and refreshment. And as the evening shadows fall, we'll come back. Lord, around 6, oh God. Even 5:30, we can do it a little earlier. Lord, you get home earlier, Father. But Lord, you just come to your table. And remember you, dear God. Remember the value of what you did. Remember, oh God, to know that it's a pale ransom church of God is saved to sin no more. Hallelujah! While we have the opportunity, while we have the time, dear God, we want to capitalize upon it and take a hold of every privilege, knowing you are faithful to give to us as we have need. Bless each and every one, Father. And all that is connected with your children, I pray that you grant it. In the lovely and precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. So we all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You may have a seat. We try to come in, I guess, 5:30. I will finish early. We just take your name as a time of fellowship and refresh yourself. If you come to the Lord's table tonight, what a privilege. We come and wash each other's feet, break bread with each other, and know the value of this is because he died in Calvary. We can have the fellowship and the hope, the blessed assurance that we have, the believers gathering in together when they come together, the eagles, we gather together. And we are eagles, those who are airborne, eagles of the air. May God keep us in heavenly places, friends. May no storm, no dark clouds, no nothing bring us down. May our iron get filled over. If it is, get to the rock, beat your head in the rock. If it's your eagle moping somewhere down in some valley, take your fresh meat, get along your fellowship, nourish and strengthen them back out of that valley to reach back up again. Amen. One of these days that comes to come, the great white to himself. Amen. But it will be so easy. What a day that would be, friends. What a day that would be. Give me thank you for your presence, thank you for the fellowship we can have. Amen. Such a wonderful and precious thank you to you. Let the faint be called Jehovah Jireh and Makapire. But great faith been confessed. He who begin the wickedness and perform it. He who is present among us today. Like Naomi told you, that man will not rest this day until he has done for you what you desire or what you are in need of. Amen. Believe him. He is that great kinsman redeemer walking among us. Hallelujah. Our great Boaz in this harvest time. Let him throw the extra handful for you. Put it right into his car. Something to nourish you up. Thank you. Keep you peeking on. Might be many more days, but if you get pretty rough, and that's when you want to hold together, that's when you want to be scared, friends. And this is our final preparation. We are in the time of our final preparation. The day being cut short. Otherwise, no flesh be saved. I said, look what a lifetime has come to today. Look what is going on today. Look what the school has done today. Look what happened to the streets today, friends. It's gone, it's finished. But for the elect's sake, sure, they will come back sometime tomorrow. Even the Pentecostal leaders come back sometime tomorrow. But for the elect's sake, for your sake, a seed, the future plants inside of it. Hallelujah. He's your provider. More than enough for you. Don't doubt him. Believe him. Confess him. Express your confidence in him. You're my healer. I your Christ. Thank you.